I've been on this series. I have 6 parts to it. You can find them on our website, in our phone app to catch up. I've covered a lot of material. When I began this series, this journey on divine healing, when I began this series to teach on it, I did not know which direction it would go, and it has taken us into some very interesting concepts and thoughts and challenges, from what are you thinking when you pray to the word, the blood, and the name. And we've talked about those different things. Today and next Sunday, it's very, very interesting. Today it's part one. Next Sunday is going to be part two. And I'm going to talk to you about demons, and next Sunday, angels. And what I want you to see is the connection between demons and sickness, angels and health. I want you to see our spiritual beings in the world. I will be talking about demons. If you have any young children in the room that you don't feel comfortable, I would totally understand if you wanted to leave. That's okay. But the word demons, and it's going to be said a lot of times. I'm not going into a description of what they look like, but I'm going to go into a reality of who they are, where they came from, what's going on, how did Jesus confront them, how did the apostles confront them, and how you should confront them. In this world that you see, there are thousands upon millions of beings that you don't see. Angels and demons exist. They existed in the day of Jesus. They existed in the Old Testament. They exist in the New Testament. They still exist today. Angels are part of God's kingdom. Demons are part of the power of darkness. So I want you to realize that there is a connection, but you better listen, because if you may say something I didn't say and try to quote me, and I will come and find you. Because I am not saying that if you're sick, it came from a demon. I am going to say that there was no sickness until there was sin. And demonic forces are behind the very core of sickness. And Jesus dealt with demons as well as sickness. And so did the apostles. And there might be times that you will have to. But I am not saying that if someone's sick, they have a demon. Okay? So if you go say, well, you must have a demon because you're sick, you know, and Pastor Tom said so, I will find you. I will hunt you down. Okay, I got a lot. We're going to go real quick, and God help us get through this. In 1 John chapter 4:4, I want to begin with this, and I want everyone, I hope you can see it from back there, maybe on the screen, read it out loud. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In this Bible verse, I want to begin this talk on demons and angels with you to understand you are more powerful than any demon. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have more power, more authority, more spiritual brightness, light, authority over any spirit of darkness. And in this, it says, you are of God, little children. And I love that he did this, that he wrote little children, because it's every age. And by saying little children, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And the them is referring to the spirits of darkness and the things of this world and the antichrist spirit that's in this world. Because he, and don't you love this part too? Capitalize, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, little h, because I want you to understand this, that he that's in the world is the spirit of Antichrist, the demonic spirits, the different things that you face, the temptations, the trials, the pressures of life. And I want you to realize that the greater one, he, that's the Holy Spirit inside you, is greater than anything you face. We have to start with reality and truth. Reality and truth is you're in charge. And you need to know that the demonic powers are not in charge. Most Americans have no clue what demon possession, demon eyes, and demon things and demon behavior is, because you face demons every single day. There are angels assigned to your life, angels assigned to your family, angels assigned to your future that are watching over you and guiding you and helping you and protecting you, but there are also demons who are attacking you. You are attacked every single day by demonic forces, and you just don't know it. You just kind of think, oh, where'd that thought come from? Why did I just have the thought I want to slap you in the face? That's going to be a demonic thought that just pops in and they shoot darts and try to get you to grab one of them and hold on to them. God wants you well. Demons want you sick. Very important that you know the difference. God does not want you sick. He did not make Adam and Eve with cancer. There was no sickness in the garden. That's the will of God. Man gets in the way, and then it causes all kinds of problems. So who are demons? And for you to help you understand who are demons, here's a timeline of creation. Imagine there's nothing but God. Now that you're there, the first thing that he makes is angels. The second thing he makes is the earth, sun, moon, and all the galaxies. The third thing he makes is life before Adam. Life before Adam are dinosaurs and prehistoric individuals and people, or if there are people, but there could be animal-like creatures that look like you, that walked upright, very, very possible, but they were not humans. They lived before Adam. And then what happened is there was a overthrow. Tried Satan, who was Lucifer. Lucifer became Satan. Lucifer was a cherub angel. There was Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. These are the three top angels in all of creation. And Lucifer decided that he's going to overthrow God. And God kicked him out of heaven, put him on planet Earth. And then God turned the lights off and we have the frozen age of planet Earth. The Bible begins in Genesis chapter 6, chapter 1. In the beginning there that it's referring to is not the beginning. The real beginning is found in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the Genesis chapter 1, it is the re-beginning in a sense because God says that the Holy Spirit hovered around the earth. Well, the earth was already made. And which means that when he shut the lights off and the earth froze and we have the ice age, what happens is God now has the Holy Spirit hover around the earth and the earth comes back to life and we have the recreation of life. In Genesis chapter 1, you have the 6 days of creation. It really is the recreation. It's God bringing life back that was already there, but without the dinosaurs. And then after these things, he makes the human race. He makes Adam and Eve. When he made Adam and Eve, he gave them all authority in the Garden of Eden and said, you rule the earth. It's yours. Here's your earth. The earth belongs to you. Boom, it's yours. Satan shows up and he gets to tempt them and try them and pressure them in the form of a serpent that obviously could talk because he's talking to Eve. Or did Adam and Eve have the ability to talk to every animal? Don't know. Just possibility. And so in the communication with this particular serpent, Eve takes the fruit. It was not an apple. It was a one-of-a-kind fruit, one-of-a-kind tree. It wasn't an apple, and don't believe it was an apple. Anyway, let's go on. And eats the fruit, and then the Bible says this, turns and gives it to her husband who was with her, and he eats it. The two of them were supposed to tell the serpent, get out of the garden and kick him out. If they had done that, you would never have seen sickness. You would never have seen cancer. You would never seen any kind of disease, any kind of virus would not exist if Adam and Eve in the garden said, get out, serpent. But because they committed sin, it introduced the decay of planet Earth and the decay of the human body and brought in sickness and viruses and other issues that have grown and mutated through the years into different kinds of things. Then what we have after that is I want you to see Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared, referring to the final fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. What you need to understand is Lucifer was a cherub. He tried to overthrow God. The Bible says that he got one-third of the angels to join him, and those angelic beings along with him were cast down to planet Earth, and God prepared a place of fire for Lucifer, who is now the devil or Satan, and his angels. These angels that fell are currently demons today. The demons that you are battling with, or the demons that Jesus battled with, and demons that are in the Old Testament are fallen angels. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, am I going too fast? Yeah, no. I only looked at you, no one else. Yeah. I have a lot to cover. You were in Eden, the garden of God. This is referring to Lucifer. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was on your covering. The stardust, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanships of your timbrels and pipes. This is a term that is used to describe vocal cords. Was prepared for you on the day of your that you were created. What we learn from this and many other scriptures is Lucifer was the head cherub that led worship. Most likely, Lucifer lived on planet Earth, or he ruled over planet Earth as the lead worship leader. That's why you have to watch out for worship leaders. Make sure they stay in line. But his pipes were created. We are talking about a being, a spiritual being, a being created for the purpose of making music. Could you imagine the music he could make with his own vocal cords? I mean, if we've got people that can make the sound of a drum, boom, 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 boom. No, I can't. But we've seen people where a cappella groups make it sound like, well, where's the music coming from? From their own pipes. Could you imagine this angel that could sing perfect, pitch perfect, never sharp, never flat, unless the note called for it, but perfectly pitched. And so what's happened is he's leading the created beings. And you say, well, what is that? That would be the dinosaurs. That would be anything else created, any other living being, any other creature, including the oceans, including the waters, including the palm trees, including the mountains, because the Bible says in the Old Testament that even the waters clap their hands and worship God. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, hey, if these people don't worship me, the rocks will cry out. Rocks cry out and worship God. All of creation worships God. Here's our names in the Bible that are for Satan. Names for Satan that are found in the Bible. The prince of the world, prince of the power of the air, God of the world, Beelzebub, Satan, devil, old serpent, great dragon, evil one, the thief, tempter, accuser, deceiver, murderer, father of lies, roaring lion, oppressor, corrupt or corrupter of minds, Belial, adversary, and wicked one. These are names that are in the Bible describing the same individual called Satan, who leads the group of fallen angels, demons. These are the different kinds of demons that are found in the New Testament, Old Testament. Evil spirits, foul spirits, unclean spirits, impure spirits, spirit of infirmity, spirit of divination, seducing spirits, familiar spirits, and deceiving spirits. These are the different demonic powers that you deal with. These are happening still today. Not every one of these, and let me rephrase it. Every one of these demonic spirits are operating today. They are in planet Earth. They are in the United States. They are in your Belinda. They are in Japan. They are in Australia. They are in Canada. They are in Russia and China and everywhere else on this planet. There are demonic spirits who are trying to do the job of Satan that he described. What is his job? According to 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says this. Now the Spirit speaks expressly, says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Some, thank God it's not a lot. Some will depart from the faith. Whenever you see the phrase the faith, it's referring to the faith of Christianity. It's referring to the faith in God. It's referring to the faith in the Son of God. It's referring to Jesus being the creator and the deliverer, and the one that has justified us and brought us into righteousness. It says, giving heed to deceiving spirits, and this is important, and doctrines of demons. You face deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons every day. There are Christians in this room, Christians all over the place, maybe the one sitting between your two ears, whatever possible, who have bought into doctrines of demons, have bought into deceiving spirits, have sold themselves to it and have held truth to that. For an example, whenever you read the Bible, and any time Pastor Josh or myself come up to preach doctrine that's from the Bible, scripture from the Bible, and we can show this is what God says, and then you want to modify it because it doesn't fit your scenario, your lifestyle, or your belief system, or what other people have said to you in the past, you have just sold into a doctrine of demon. For an example, doctrines of demons. Some of the doctrines of demons is, it's not really that important to go to church regularly. You don't have to go to church. Church is inside your heart. It's a doctrine of demons because the Bible says, forsake not the gathering of the saints. So if you can find something that the Bible actually says and you practice something the complete opposite, you're following a doctrine of demon. Christians do. Believers do. I will give you examples in a little bit. But it does happen on a regular basis. And deceiving spirits, in the sense of deceiving. Here's the one that I find all over YouTube from non-pastors who preach on YouTube, but they're not pastors, not associated with the church at all. And they will say, you don't have to tithe. It's a doctrine of demons. Because I can show you from Scripture. Old Testament before the law, Old Testament in the law, in the life of Jesus Christ, Jesus practiced tithing and encouraged people. And in the New Testament, after the resurrection, tithing is practiced. But we say, we buy into a doctrine of demons. And the doctrine of demons is, well, I don't have to tithe. I can't afford it. Doctrine of demons. I don't have to tithe. I'm under grace. Doctrine of demons. I only tithe on my take-home pay. I don't tithe on my withholding tax. That's not mine. Yes, it is. Tell the IRS it's not yours. Here's what also doctrines of demons. Talking about people, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. This right here is full of stuff. For an example, how many of you say grace over your food? My question is, why? Where'd that come from? It's not in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible says that you should say grace over your food, but it does say that you should take it with thanksgiving. You should give thanks over your food. I have no clue what it means. When I'll be at someone's house, would you say grace? Grace. I said it. I got a great bunch today. Now, our country is bombarded. Now, listen real close, okay? Because you're going to go out and say, Pastor Tom says that every transgender, every gay person, every gay couple is demon-possessed. And that's not what I said. So if you say that, I'll hunt you down. But I am saying this. The belief system of forbidding to marry and this marriage ceremony and marriage definition is defined by God in the book of Genesis where God said, the wife, the woman, and the man would join together and become one. He did not say a man and a man, a woman and a woman would become one. He said that a man and a woman would become one, and the other doctrinal teaching is doctrine of demons. Because doctrine of demons is to get you away from God's way. And now you could be upset at me. You could be mad. You could be in a same-sex relationship right now. I am not telling you that you are demonically oppressed or demonically possessed. What I am saying is the belief system that is challenging God does come from demons. Should have seen me sweating it when I knew I was going to say these things all week. You know, I want you to know truth, all right? Truth is what sets you free. Well, Pastor, what happens if I'm not attracted to the same sex? I mean, the opposite sex. What if I'm attracted to the same sex? Well, maybe you're not really attracted. Maybe you were supposed to be a eunuch. Maybe you are attracted, and that's just where you are. That's just your emotion. Does it make it right? I know people who are attracted to stealing. We have somebody who lives in our neighborhood, and they live in a $5 million house, and they were arrested in the city of Irvine for porch stealing. Picking up Amazon packages off of porches. Sell your house. What I'm saying is, the desire to steal doesn't make it right. Just because you have a desire. Our desires have to be brought before the kingdom of God and brought before the word of God. So what, okay, for an example, let's say you're married, but you look at someone else and you kind of have wrong thoughts. That's doctrines of demons. You got a married relationship. You stay in it. You work through it. You kick out those thoughts. You challenge those thoughts with the word of God. You say, well, what's this have to do with sickness? We're getting there. You already feel sick with this happening. Doctrines of demons are forbidding to marry, which is happening right now, promoting any relationship, not man and woman. We are facing doctrines of demons in our capitals of all of our states and in our country. Promoting something against God. The other thing is commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. So that's another one that we're being challenged with all the time. You're going to have to find the diet that works for you. I am not preaching on food today. I'm just saying that everybody has a different body and no one diet works for everybody. Vegetarians doesn't work for everybody. Carnivore doesn't work for everybody. You know, any diet that you have doesn't work for anybody. You got to find the one that works for you. And the one who works for you is going to be led by the Holy Spirit and you're going to be giving thanks for it. Yes, John 10:10, the thief is Satan and his demons. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, and this is a quote from Jesus Christ, I have come that they may have life. He did not say, I have come to have people get sick. I have come to ensure they stay sick. He said, I have come to get that they may have life. And life is living well, not sick. Jesus came for you to be well. He came for you to heal you. He came, his first sermon was the proclamation of the year of Jubilee and having people delivered from sickness, poverty, and sin. And he says, and that they may have it more abundantly. So he doesn't just say, I want you to have life. He says, I want you to have life. Not just life, life. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to be in the moment. I want you to enjoy what's going on in life. I want you to have fun. God wants you to have fun. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. The word steal, the Greek word for steal, means to take something without permission. The enemy will come into your life and try to take stuff from you. Take your health, take your finances, take your well-being, remove your peace, take your inner peace, disturb your family. Kill means to slaughter. This is a violent slaughter or to kill. This Greek word for kill here that is being quoted is referring to that he wants to come and slaughter everything in your house. Wants to slaughter you. And the word for destroy means to cause the destruction of persons, objects, or institutions to ruin or to destroy. And right now, the doctrines of demons are trying really hard to destroy the institution of church. And there are Christians all over this country, ever since COVID, feel excused to gather with other saints and go to church. It's a doctrine of demons. I said, Pastor, I don't like how you are talking to me right now. It doesn't matter. I don't get a paycheck from you. It doesn't change my life right now, except I'm trying to change your life. I want you to realize the enemy is coming to try to destroy. He wants to destroy you as a person. He would love to destroy your reputation. He would love to destroy you. He'd love to destroy your marriage. He would love to destroy your finances. He would love to destroy your relationship with your own kids. There are times you're just fighting relationships. But if you realize what's really behind that fight, it's something else, and you could win faster. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. I found this super interesting that most people don't see. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Do you know what this power is referring to? His purpose in life. Walking his purpose in life. Walking, using the gifts that he was called to use. And if we will walk in the purpose of our life, and that's why we want you to go to Growth Track. We want you to go to Growth Track so you can find your purpose. And when you find your purpose and you get plugged into your purpose, you are walking in power with the Holy Spirit. And it's very, very important that we find our place, and that's where we're going to be the most powerful when we walk that way. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This says that everyone Jesus healed was oppressed by the devil. This word for oppressed means to cause severe hardship, to oppress, to overwhelm. The whole purpose of sickness that is coming from demonic powers or from demonic influence is to overwhelm you. It is to oppress you. It is to cause severe hardship. Sickness is hardship. It's not a blessing from God. And a doctrine of demons is when somebody says, God doesn't want to heal me. I prayed and I didn't get healed, therefore he wants me to have this for a while. That's a doctrine of demon that you're preaching. That's not the doctrine of the cross. Why would God send Jesus to the cross and take your sickness and your pain and your suffering and your sin and then ask you to stay in sickness? That's like him asking you to stay in sin. Doctrines of demons. Well, I knew that you would love this talk. And you guys look like you're just eating it up, like doing this. Satan's goal is to get you to live your life without God or to doubt God's word and intentions. That's his goal. Doctrines of demons are out to get you to doubt God, get you to doubt his intentions, get you to deal with life another way, for you to not do it God's way, for you to do it some other way. How demons carry out their mission, okay? I want you to understand how demons carry out their mission. Mark chapter 4, verses 13 through 20, you'll find a parable called the sower sows the word. We're not going to read that parable. It'll take too long. I could take two sermons just on that parable, but I want to hit the highlights. These are four different hearts of believers. These are Christians. The first one is the wayside heart. This is where Satan challenges God's word in your mind and tries with some success to get you to deny the truth. Number two is the stony ground heart. Rough times. You believe God has forgotten and you give up on dealing with the rough times God's way. In this stony heart, you start doubting God cares about you. And when you start doubting God cares about you, you buy into doctrines of demons and you stop using your faith, which is what the demons go, yay. Did you know that every time you lead someone to the Lord, all the angels of heaven shout and cheer? Did you know every time you doubt God, all the demons shout and cheer? So which one do you want to shout and cheer? And if you will follow God, follow grace of God, follow the goodness of God, follow the mercy of God, follow the word of God, the angels will be shouting and cheering for you. The third is among thorns. And here's what it says in verse 19 of that chapter. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. The among thorns is where you let politics, financial pressure, the news, you let Fox News, CNN news, you know, whatever else there is news, you let it overwhelm you and you spend your life worrying about the future, you are among the thorns. And it starts choking your belief in God. You see, you start meditating on serious problem after problem after problem. Oh, the China and Russia are up by Alaska right now, and you meditate on it. Instead of Psalms 91, you meditate on the problems of the world. So, well, Pastor, that is very serious. Yes, it is. What are you going to do about it? What you're going to do about it is become a person of prayer and pray for our leaders and pray for that situation and then walk in faith and believe God and do what we've been told to do in this day, 21 days of prayer, is to thank God and get in Psalms 100 and declare God's goodness. Amen. Finally, I'm going to order those white handkerchiefs and give them to everybody. Good ground. Listen to this. The fourth category is good ground. Satan can't touch this ground. You can get to a place where Satan can't touch you. Yes, you face demons every single day, but they don't have to influence you. They don't have to control you. They don't have to have come into your life. Let's talk about demons and sickness in Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures that deal showing you the correlation between sickness and demons. Not all sickness is demonic. In fact, Alyssa just read a story about the 10 lepers and how they came. And in the story she read, there was not one having a demon cast out of them, but healing spoken over them. So I just want you to know. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And you'll find this phrase, healed them, associated even with demon possession as well as sickness or injury. In Luke chapter 4, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them. Whoa, that took some time. And healed them. And demons also came out of many. In Matthew 8:16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word, and he healed all who were sick. I want you to see, and I just have a few of them. There's a lot more. When I started this, I had 11 typed pages of notes that would be equivalent to four sermons, and I had to squish, and did my best, and I'm going to keep you two or three minutes longer than normal. Matthew 9, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed, and when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. So this one is definitely related. His physical problem was related to a spiritual issue. And somebody goes, well, that doesn't happen today. You know, when someone's demon-possessed, most people in America think of someone's demon-possessed that running all over the place. The Antichrist from the book of Revelation is demon-possessed. He's going to be one of the most charismatic individuals you will hear in public speech. He will not run around like a maniac, but he is completely demon-possessed. And you need to know that you face people who are demon-influenced or thought-influenced or doctrines of demons influence, and they push it with all their heart because that's what they want in their life. It says, and when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. What does it mean to be demon-possessed? Now I'm going to... This, I hope, will help you. This, I hope, will be news to a lot of you. I hope it will be eye-opening. In the Greek language, there is no difference between demon possession and demon oppression or demon influence. Same word or same phrase. It doesn't distinguish. What we do know is the more that a person themselves cooperate with demonic influence and the more that they decide to do demonic things, like witchcraft or other fortune-telling or other things like that, the more that we give ourselves over to those things and doctrines of demons, the more it can take over part of our personality. And it could seem like somebody is more possessed than another, but in the Greek, it doesn't separate them. But what's interesting is there are two key phrases that you'll find in the Greek. One is to have a demon or demon-possessed, and they're both the same thing, interchangeable. This word for have is very interesting. It's the Greek word echo. We get our English word echo. And what demon possession is, or demon influence, or demon oppression, is you are echoing. echoing what the demon wants in your life. You're just a sounding chamber, just an echo chamber. And what's happening is the demonic oppression that's coming into your life, or the demonic challenges, or the demonic things, is that you echo it. And if you are echoing doctrines of demons, then you are. So, well, are you telling me that I'm demon-possessed? No. And if you go tell someone that, I'll hunt you down too. I'm going to hunt a lot of people down. You know, but here's what I want you to understand, is in the Greek, it doesn't matter if it's an influence or full-out control. It's all taken care of the same way. And that's what we have to know. And that's what we have to understand. I'm going to take you from this Greek word translated to English, demon possessed, is more appropriate translated, the person possesses a demon. It's the person who has the demon, not the demon who has the person. But in other languages, there's a lot of languages. When you take it from the Greek and you put it into Spanish, or you put it into French, or you put it into something else, and you translate it, they don't have a phrase, demon possession, that's going to correlate to it. And it may come out of a phrase as the demon rides the person, or the demon commands the person, or even the demon is the person. So you can see just in this definition that there could be different levels of control or influence that the demon has. But how does one that is fully controlled by a demon, like Jesus faced that in the tombs with the guy that was a maniac and the demons left and went into the pigs, how is that different than the boy that was throwing himself in the water and the fire and having epileptic seizures? And Jesus did the exact same thing to both of them. He told the demon to leave. So it doesn't really matter how deep it is or how controlled it is by the or influence. It's still going to be the same way. In Matthew chapter 16, it says, but he turned and said to Peter, okay, Peter is the head of the Catholic Church. And Peter was influenced by Satan. And here's what happens. And he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. For you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And when you become more mindful of things of men, then you've become more mindful than the things of God. You have listened to some kind of demonic voice somewhere. Let me give you one in this series of divine healing. And I've used this gentleman multiple times. Thank God he is in heaven because he is a Christian, but he fought with us as a church by his side for a couple of years, cancer. And the multiple times that Suzette and I would visit him in the hospital, visit him at home, visit him when he did come to church and talk to him, encourage him. I remember multiple times. I mean, this man had really extreme situations with category 4, but stage 4 cancer. But and he is with chemotherapy, he's having all kinds of stuff, lots of vomiting, lots of pain, lots of discomfort, lots. And every time I talk to him about the Word of God and about healing and about faith and about being strong in faith, he would tell me, you don't understand, I have a very rare cancer. And I have never read anyone being healed of this cancer before. And he would tell me that again and again. I remember asking his wife about, okay, when he's at home, is there any Christian music, worship music being played? Is there any scriptures on the refrigerator and other places reminding you what putting inside you life? And she said, I can't even remember seeing him read his Bible, but he'd be on the computer for hours studying his cancer. So by studying the cancer, he accepted the truth for every side effect, for any medication, every issue of the cancer, and it killed him. It took his life. But he didn't give any time to the study of Scripture and to the study of things. He was more mindful of the things of man than the things of God. So you would say, well, why did he die? We prayed for him. Because he followed a doctrine of demons, and that was God can't heal him because his cancer was really special. It's the same when people say that God doesn't want me well. That's a doctrine of demons. In Acts chapter 5, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Peter is talking to a Christian and asks, why, Christian, did Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? What I'm sharing with you is Christians can accept doctrinal truth or doctrinal false doctrines of demons into their heart, and it is Satan lying to their heart. What I'm saying is if you don't become a student of the Word of God and become a person that wants to apply God's Word to your heart, you could be vulnerable to false doctrine. And the false doctrine could end up killing you. This is a believer, and here's what you need to understand. It's no difference in Ananias' situation when Satan filled his heart to lie than in the Greek, if you're going to lay it out in the Greek and you're going to spell it out, than someone who was demon-possessed, oppressed, influence. And what I'm sharing with you, you say, well, Pastor, this is really scary stuff. Let's get to the end and get it non-scared and come next week when I talk about angels. Mark 6 says this. So they went out. This is the disciples of Jesus. So they went out and preached that people should repent. So they're preaching repentance. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the disciples when they went out two by two. Jesus wasn't with them, and they saw the same results and the same benefits. How to cast out demons out of sick people? How to cast demons out of sick people? Would you like to know? Okay, for the five that responded. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You want the devil to run away from you? You want the devil who, when he, or the demons, when they see you, they go, woo. You want to be so bright in the spirit world that they can't open their eyes near you? Then submit to God. Quit fighting for your interpretation of Bible and be raw to Scripture. At the age of 22, and I knew that I was called to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the age of 22, I put the Bible down on the ground. I laid by it, very similar to my tithing story, but this is a different story. And I held it to my chest, and I said this. I don't know everything this says. I'm still learning. And I'll probably learn for the rest of my life and then more after. But I commit that this word is true. And if I'm doing something against the word, I will change. I will not change the word. And I made a commitment that and guess what? As I started to grow in Scripture and grow in Christianity and grow in knowledge, there were a lot of challenges. I found some really bad stuff in my life. Bad attitudes, bad thoughts, bad beliefs. Suzette just told me something the other day that I've actually said. And she said, did you know it does not say in the book of Job, tell me the secret of the snowflake? I've actually preached that. I said, no, it does. She goes, let's look. We searched, could not find it. It's not there. But yet tons and tons of tons of Christians and a lot of preachers, me included, have actually said, God is so smart, he knows the secret of the snowflake, and he challenged Job to find it. Anybody been there before? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Okay, it's not in the Bible. Neither is We Three Kings. That's just another, anyway. 1 John chapter 4, beloved, Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So do they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and they are of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already here. You are dealing with the spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist is to get you to doubt God or to live your life without God. Philippians chapter 2, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him, and the him is Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. This is all creation. The name of Jesus is above every name. It's above the name of demons. It's above the name of angels. It's above your name. We are supposed to submit to God, and the devil will flee from us. What we need to realize is the biggest weapon that has been given to us to combat demonic influence, whether it's doctrines of demons, whether it is sickness, whether it is injury, whatever it might be, is the name of Jesus. Is that we use the name of Jesus. We believe in the name of Jesus. We commit to the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, it says this, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, and hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. You know what happened in church? If someone got delivered and the demon left with a screaming voice, most other Christians would run thinking, I don't want it to come on me. That's a person that doesn't know who you are in Christ. It's a person that doesn't know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And it says, and possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. In 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. What I want you to realize is demons play a role in sickness, disease, even people who are paralyzed. Does that mean everybody that's paralyzed has a demon? No. No. But why would we not also just deal with the spiritual issues at hand? And the spiritual issues, those people are not leaving because they don't like my sermon. They're on the worship team and they're coming back on stage. The thing that you have to realize is there's the spiritual side of stuff. We need to take the name of Jesus and the greater one that's in us than he that's in the world and apply it to our lives. And what I mean by that, applying it to our lives, is applying it to your finances. Speaking to your finances and telling the devil to get out of your finances. Speaking to your body and telling the devil to get out. Influence. Bowing your knee before God and accepting the truth that God is smarter than you and that his ways are truth. And if you're combating with your lifestyle and the scriptures, you will find strength in the scriptures to combat your lifestyle and to make it through temptations, trials. Years ago, when I pastored in the city of Anaheim, there was this young man who started coming to church pretty regularly. Wasn't a believer. He came to church every Sunday for about 6 months. And then he made an appointment with me and asked me some questions, gave his heart over to Jesus Christ, and said this after 6 months of just hearing the preaching of the gospel. He goes, I guess I'm not supposed to be having sex with my fiance until we're married. And I said, that's right. That's true. So he went home to his Christian fiance and told her, "Did you know we're not supposed to have sex?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah." And they were so entwined in their lives were so mixed financially, because they're living together, they're about to get married, that he made the choice that they had to stay in the same household, but they weren't going to have sex until after they got married. And he kept that commitment. And to this day, every year, I get a text from him on Father's Day. And he says, "Happy Father's Day, Pastor Tom." And God is richly involved in his life. But he made the decision to follow the word than his passion and his flesh and his temptation. Do you think it was hard for him not to have sex? You better believe it. But he made a commitment to God, and the word of God is strengthened him to make it through. I think it's totally appropriate to speak to sickness and tell it to leave, to speak to lungs and tell them to breathe, to speak to kidneys and tell them to function, to speak to your body in the name of Jesus and tell it to work, to speak to your brain to be clear, and to tell the demonic powers, "You have no place in my life in the name of Jesus." That's part of our authority that we have as Christians and believers. We are greater than he that's in the world. We are stronger because of him that is inside us. And my whole goal today was to expose the enemy wants you to be sick. I believe the ultimate source, if you were able to see in the spirit world, the ultimate source of COVID is demonic spirits. I believe any pandemic, any epidemic that you look in history, you will find demonic powers were part of it to try to destroy and kill the human race, God's people. And you need to realize, when you see something like that, when you see like a COVID situation, start praying against the demonic spirits who are trying to shove it and push it down everybody's life. Just, we need to be aware of the spirit world. Did you learn something today? Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand and thank him for his word? We thank you, Lord. I don't like to end the message without giving everyone an opportunity to just check their heart, check their life, and accept Jesus Christ. Make sure that you are connected with him. So I have to ask this question. You that are in the room, you that are at home watching, if something were to happen and you died today, would you go to heaven? Do you know that you'd go to heaven? If you're saying, "I'm not sure, I don't know, I really would like to, I really want to," then you need to know. And here's how you know. The Bible says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you will call on his name, he will save you from destruction and bring you into his kingdom, save you from hell and bring you and gift you heaven. But it takes you to say, "Yes, God, I believe in your son, and come into my life." Would you bow your head? Everyone in the room, would you bow your head, close your eyes? At home, if you have the opportunity to bow your head and close your eyes, would you do that? If you would like to receive Jesus today, if you would like to be born of God today, then I would like you to pray with me. And I'm going to ask everyone in this room, to contemplate right now, where are you in life? And would you like to receive Jesus? Say this prayer, everyone, just so that we make people that are near you comfortable, that they don't feel like they stand out. Say it after me. God in heaven, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is your son. He died on the cross for me. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your new life. And I ask Jesus to come into my life. I am born of God today. Amen. Amen.